changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
I want to share with you something that I find, by the way, this was a gift for Father's Day. It's a periodic table of the Marvel Universe my daughter gave me. And it shows how all the various characters and villains and everything interplay. Really a clever idea. One of the things that I've noticed staying in Airbnbs, which I don't do as much as I used to. I used to do it a lot, but now what I tend to do is stay wherever the client is putting on the event. In other words, if I'm the keynote speaker, sometimes I used to stay at an Airbnb 10 miles away. But the expense of driving back and forth in an Lyft and a Uber or a Lyft or an Uber was a bit of a hassle. And also, it's more fun to be on site with the people who are there at the convention or the event. But one of the things I've noticed staying in Airbnbs is that everybody wants to try and make you feel like it's home, like it's fun, and like it's like you're staying in someone's home. Not all of them. Some of them really have a feeling of like you're in a hotel. But a lot go to that direction or go in that direction of making it feel like, hey, you're at home. And one of the things they do is to put board games, and right over here, about 5-10 feet away from me, is a room for watching television and playing board games. And of course, there is the board game Monopoly. Now, back when I was, oh gosh, in my 20s, so that would have been 40 years ago, I read a story about the history of Monopoly. I've also read that some of it may not be true. But as they say, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. The story goes that during the Great Depression, a man and his wife, whose names I cannot remember, were living in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And he was working as a steam fitter, if I'm not mistaken, something like that, and pipe fitter. And I know she of course did not work. But they were struggling, and he was struggling to keep consistent work during the Depression. And there were times when they felt like they couldn't pay the rent and that they barely had enough food to eat. And they were truly, truly poor, these people, this man and wife. And so at the end of the day, after they had their meager dinner, the two of them would go for a walk along the boardwalk in Atlantic City, which is where they lived. And they would look around and they would imagine if they had enough money to buy that building, to buy that street, to put a home on that street, to put a hotel on that street. And they just walked around and they dreamed. And finally, one of them or both of them came up with the idea of putting all of these down on little pieces of cards, then creating a board game where you would roll a dice and go around and have the opportunity to be so wealthy as to be able to buy one of these pieces of property. It's so interesting. Some of those properties nowadays, that they've kept the prices basically as they would have been during the Depression. And you look at some of these, I think Baltic Avenue is what, $54? Anybody remember? It's so funny nowadays. And when you cross Go, you get $200. Well, that's lunch in Chicago. At some places, $200. It's amazing how things change. But what they did was they had this idea of imagining they were so wealthy that they could buy all these properties. They put this into a board game, which was called, I don't think they were the ones originally who called it Monopoly. But then they took it to a number of gaming conventions where people could, back in the 1920s, toy conventions is what it was, inviting people to try and buy them and carry them in their stores. People would come and see all the new games, etc. Games and housewares, etc. Anything. Well, what happened was when they took Monopoly to the very first of these opportunities to sell their game, nobody bought. Monopoly was one of those like movies, like The Big Lebowski, that nobody saw but then became huge. Rocky Horror Picture Show, nobody saw but became huge. Monopoly was just like that. People weren't interested in this new game idea that this couple had come up with. But over time, it began to grow. It began to grow. It began to grow. So as I was sitting here this morning having my cup of coffee and looking at the stack of games and noticing this is Monopoly. Now there are various types of Monopoly, as you know. This is a, I forget however this one is branded. We should do a complaint-free Monopoly. Monopoly is one of those games everybody loves to play, but nobody likes to finish because it takes so long. This is such an inspiring story on a number of levels because, number one, ostensibly, the story is true, which I understand at least a large part of it is, then they did ultimately become very, very wealthy for the time. They became very wealthy and able to buy whatever they wanted, pretty much. And it started with them practicing the law of attraction, walking around, and instead of feeling poor, feeling wealthy. Imagine that. And I've actually done that, by the way. There have been times in my life when I felt pretty poor, like, how am I going to make it? And I have found that walking along and looking, going out for a walk and looking at homes and looking at cars and making sure that my mind doesn't go, oh, yeah, I'll never be able to afford that. Just imagine if that were my car. Just imagine if that were my home. And the feeling that that gives us, that feeling of abundance is itself abundant. I remember reading the story in the, or hearing the story, reading the story in The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F in the book about, and I don't know the guy's name, but he played for the band. He played for a band and he was thrown out of the band right as the band got a contract and to record an album. And so this guy was left with an option. He could give up on his music career or he could continue. And he decided to not only continue, but to rub it into his previous bandmates' faces. His way of rubbing it into their faces was to build an incredible band, which I've never heard before. It's called Megadeth. And Megadeth, from what I understand, sold 50 million albums. The problem is the band... Think about that, 50 million, okay? 50 million plus made hundreds of millions touring the world. This is Megadeth. The band that had thrown this guy out was Metallica, which had sold 180 million albums. And of course, one of the biggest bands of all time. And the story goes that this guy who was kicked out of the band who started Megadeth and was originally in Metallica never was happy because he constantly measured himself against the success of Metallica. Megadeth's 50 million records, Metallica's 180 million, but could you imagine how wealthy you'd be with 50 million albums sold? All of this to say that this couple walked around during the Great Depression impoverished and they felt wealthy. They imagined, what if I could buy that lot right there and put two hotels on it? Can you imagine how much money I would make? What if I could buy this railroad? Could you imagine the audacity of thinking when you're broke what it would be like to own a railroad or to own an electric company or a waterworks or something like that? And as a result, their lives truly began to mirror what it is they believed about themselves. You can be the wealthiest person in the world, but if you're measuring yourself against the success of others, you'll always feel poor. If you measure yourself, if you feel inside that you are wealthy wherever you are, you are going to attract more wealth to you. There are times when people get windfalls in their lives and they feel like, wow, I'm set for my life. But then they begin to worry about the money and worry about situations. What if it goes away? And what happens is it goes away. So today I want you to think about this idea. As you're walking around, do you look at the world and do you compare yourself compared to what you don't have? Right now is not a good time to buy a new car. And I wanted to buy a new car right before COVID hit. And I've got this 15-year-old car that I love. It's a Toyota Solara. It's convertible. I've always enjoyed this car. And yet I know what I want to get now. And sometimes when I'm driving it, because my car's got a cracked dashboard, it rattles a little bit. It's 15 years old. And when I'm driving it, I look at these cars going by and I measure myself to that. You know, oh, I wish I had that Lamborghini or Bentley or anything that you see all over Miami. And of course, then you look at the person who's riding a bicycle and wishing they had a car. And then you look at the person standing at the bus stop wishing they had a bicycle. If we feel like we're empty, we're always going to feel empty. And we're going to attract more emptiness to us. When we feel like we're full, we bring the fullness of the world to us as well. Practice that today. Let that be your focus. Imagine that you are so wealthy you could buy every car and every house on your street. And how would you feel? Just how would you feel? This is not about being above anybody else, and it's not about filling insecurity with money. It's about not worrying, and it's about focusing on the fullness that you already have. My good friend Joe Vitale always says words to the effect of, the best way to get more of what you want is to feel good about what you have. So give that a try starting today.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. Flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.